Well, let's get going. Hello, everyone. My name is Frank S., and I am a grateful recovering compulsive gambler. And today marks 5,619 days since my last bet. Tonight, I'd like to talk about G-O-D. Not God in the traditional sense, although my higher power certainly plays a role in this. The God I'm talking about tonight stands for Gifts of Disturbances. The basic idea is simple. Everything that bothers me is a gift. Not because it's pleasant, not because I enjoy it, but because it tells me something about myself. Every annoyance, irritation, resentment, disappointment, fear, hurt feeling, or frustration is information. It's showing me where I still have work to do. It's showing me what I've let go of, and it's showing me what I'm still hanging on to. I've come to believe that disturbances are like spiritual X-rays. They reveal things that I otherwise wouldn't see. And if I pay attention to them, they can become some of my greatest teachers. I've been kicking this idea around for a while. I almost called it, "Why be bothered about stuff that's bothering you?" Then I thought, "Yeah, don't bother." Besides, God is a much better acronym. As I started preparing, lots of ideas came into my head. Some good, some not so good. Some took me off on tangents. If you know me or if you've ever met my kids, they'll tell you that tangents are one of my specialties. And what's worse is I never end up getting to the place I wanted to go to begin with. So one thing I've learned about myself is that I do a lot better when I write things out, especially for a Zoom share. Yeah, I've done a few live shares recently with notes, and they've been okay. But at the end, I usually realize I've left some important things out. But writing helps me organize my thoughts, stay focused, and communicate more clearly. The writing itself becomes recovery work. As I'm writing, I'm inventorying. I'm examining my reactions. I'm looking at my motives. I'm trying to understand myself better. And when I'm finished, I have something I can revisit later or share with someone who might find it helpful. By the way, if you'd like a written copy of this share, don't worry about taking notes. Give Dan your email address in the chat. And we'll see that you get it. And please wait until later in the share. There's plenty of time for me to go off on a lot of tangents and ruin the whole thing. And in the interest of full disclosure, I use AI, artificial intelligence, to help organize my thoughts and check for completeness. Not to tell me what I believe, not to do my recovery work, not to write my inventory, but help structure ideas that are already in my head and act as a catalyst for new thoughts. And if someone were to say, "Yeah, Frank gave a good share, but he had a lot of help from AI, so keep that in mind when you listen," I can honestly say that would make me happy. Help is everywhere. Take advantage of it when you can. Years ago, it might have bothered me. I might have gotten defensive. Today, I don't really care. Some people can stand up and give amazing off-the-cuff shares. One of the best shares I heard recently was from JoJo last week. Her share on June 2nd, 2026. By the way, which is available on gamblersinrecovery.com, was incredible. No notes, no script, just authentic experience. I admire people who can do that. I'm just not one of them. My gift is different. My process is different. Recovery has taught me I don't have to apologize for using the tools that help me be useful. The goal isn't to impress people. The goal is to carry the message. The older I get, the less interested I am in looking good, and the more interested I am in being helpful. Now let's do a little experiment. So if you're on Zoom, look around your screen. Yeah, don't say anything out loud. Just notice. Maybe somebody's camera's off. Maybe somebody you see never shares. Maybe you see someone here, oh, that shares way too much. Maybe that's me. Maybe someone's always late. Maybe someone doesn't have a sponsor. That's not good, right? Maybe somebody keeps relapsing. Maybe somebody rubs you just the wrong way. Now ask yourself a question. Does any of that bother you? Because if it does, that's interesting. Why? Because there are other people in this room that see the exact same thing you're seeing, and they're not bothered at all. One person sees someone arrive late and gets irritated. Another person laughs and said, "Oh, that's Joe. He's always late. I'm so glad he's here today." Oh, oops, I forgot to check if there are any Joes in the room. Well, if there is, I hope you are bothered by my comment and you can thank me for the gift later. We all experience the same event and we all have different reactions. One person sees a camera off and gets annoyed. Another person never gives it a second thought. That's one of the biggest insights recovery has given me. If another person can experience the exact same situation and remain peaceful, then the situation itself cannot be the source of the suffering. Something inside of me is being activated. The disturbance is pointing inward, not outward. Let's take another example. This will be fun. Profanity. Some of our meetings prohibit it completely. Some don't. I'm not here to judge either approach, and honestly, my opinion in this matter isn't particularly important. What interests me is the reaction. I've noticed that profanity can create disturbances on both sides. Some people are generally bothered when someone swears. Others are generally bothered when they're told they can't. Now we're getting somewhere. Same words, different reactions. For the person bothered by profanity, the disturbance might reveal respect, expectations they have, their values, sensitivity, maybe memories of growing up in a home where profanity was associated with anger and fear or conflict. Maybe they just simply believe meetings should maintain a certain atmosphere. Now, for the person bothered by being told they can't swear, the disturbance might reveal their resistance to authority, the fear of being controlled, pride, rebellion, or perhaps a belief that recovery meetings should be a place where people can speak freely without censoring themselves. Neither reaction is automatically right or wrong. The interesting question is, why does it bother me? And here's where it even gets more interesting. Some could argue that some of the things we did as compulsive gamblers were so devastating, so profane to our families, to our finances, and to relationships that a few swear words seem pretty minor in comparison. And others would strongly disagree. And that's the exact point. Different people, different reactions, different disturbances. Oh, and there's a whole nother level. Some people might be bothered simply because I'm bringing this topic up. Some might be thinking, finally, somebody said it. Others might be thinking, why are we wasting time talking about profanity? Others might find the whole thing amusing. Same topic, different reactions. The gift of disturbances isn't deciding who's right. The gift is noticing what gets activated inside of us. If I'm upset about profanity, what's it teaching me? If I'm upset that profanity isn't allowed, what is that teaching me? And if I'm upset that we've spent all this time talking about it, what's that teaching me? The disturbance becomes a teacher. And once again, the focus shifts away from changing other people and back towards understanding myself. So I think about my time here in Hawaii. Paradise, right? Beautiful beaches, ocean breezes, palm trees. And yet somehow life still managed to provide disturbances. Standing in line at the grocery store, the person ahead of me has a full cart. They're moving slowly. Oh, and they forgot something. I had to go back and get it. Now I'm starting to feel a little irritated. The disturbance isn't the line. The disturbance is my belief that my time is more important than theirs. What are the gifts that have been identified here? Impatience, entitlement, self-centeredness. Then there are deeper disturbances. You know, many of you know I do a family Zoom call every week with my ex-wife and two kids. And we go around the squares and everyone talks about what's happening in their lives. And when they're done, nobody asks what I'm doing. Nobody asks how I'm feeling. And suddenly I feel hurt. What are the gifts identified? My need for attention, my need to feel important, my need to be seen. Oh, and then there's guilt. Here I am in Hawaii, beautiful weather, beautiful scenery. And part of me thinks, yeah, I should be doing more. I should be accomplishing more. Nobody's attacking me. I'm attacking myself. What are the gifts identified here? My need for perfectionism, my never enough thinking, my self-judgment. Then I start thinking about step work. Oh, did I call my sponsee or sponsor or mentor? Did I make that outreach call? Did I spend enough time in prayer? Did I do the things I know help me stay spiritually fit? Sometimes the disturbance isn't what I did, it's what I didn't do. What are the gifts identified here? Procrastination, complacency, fear, avoidance. Let me run through a disturbance through the entire 12-step process. Sometimes there's someone in my face-to-face meeting who is always late. Not once in a while, not occasionally, every week. You've probably noticed that yourself. Meeting starts at 8 o'clock. At 8:15, they stroll in with a cup of coffee, waving at everybody like they're the guest speaker. And let's say this bothers me. Recovery asks, why? As I looked at it, I realized this wasn't really about the late person. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, my parents were late picking me up after a movie. Now, maybe it was 10 minutes, maybe it was 3 hours. I have no idea of ever knowing. I remember standing there wondering if they forgot me, feeling scared, feeling abandoned. A little kid doesn't say, "Hey, I'm experiencing abandonment issues." He just feels alone. So now, 67 years later, somebody's late. My reaction is bigger than it really needs to be. The disturbance is showing me something, not about them, about me. So let's go through the steps as a filter. Step one, acknowledging acceptance. I'm disturbed. Step two, there's a better way to deal with this. Step three, I can turn it over. Step four, what's really going on? Fear, abandonment, feeling unimportant. Step five, let's share it with someone else. Not to build a case, not to gather allies, to seek the truth. Step six and seven, become willing to let go of the old story and see what character defects are in play. Step eight, have I judged or criticized people because of it? Step nine, do I owe anybody an amends? Step 10, what's my part in all this? My part isn't creating the wound. I didn't do that. My part is recognizing when the wound is driving the bus. My part is to clean it up as soon as possible. Step 11, pray for healing. Step 12, share the lesson. What's my action plan? Next time somebody's late, I ask, is this about today or that person? Or is this something about that's much older and something I need to take a look at about myself? Let me give you a more serious example. Suppose I'm celebrating my birthday at a live meeting. Somebody I'm dating, I bring to the meeting. Prior to my share, another member talks about the time that I spent in jail that I shared at a previous meeting and how great I've turned my life around. They're trying to compliment me. Suddenly I'm furious. What happens in the room is supposed to stay in the room. I didn't say that at this meeting. My mind starts building a case. They should have said that. They embarrassed me. They put me in a bad position. They violated my trust, and maybe some of that's true. But recovery asks a different question. Why am I bothered? Underneath the anger is fear, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of being seen differently. Then comes the most important question. What is my part? What's my responsibility? Maybe my responsibility isn't what happened in the meeting. Maybe my responsibility is that I'd not yet shared an important part of my story with someone I was becoming close to. The disturbance becomes a flashlight. It shines on something I've been avoiding. The old me would spend weeks building a case against the other person. The recovering me asks, what's my part? What conversation have I been avoiding? What truth am I reluctant to tell? What action do I need to take? Not every disturbance points to a character defect, however. Sometimes it points to grief and loss. Many of you know my partner, Eva, battled leukemia for 16 months. She passed away 8 months ago this week. She went through a stem cell transplant. She achieved remission. Things finally seemed to be turning around. Then one day, pneumonia came out of nowhere. And within 12 hours, she was gone. So sometimes the disturbance sounds like this. This isn't fair. Why now? Why after everything she went through? Why after we thought she had made it? For those of you that are reading this later on, there's tears coming out of my eyes. I still feel that loss. The steps still apply. And I'll just talk about a few of the steps. Step one, I'm powerless. Not over traffic, not over a late person, over life and death itself. Step four, what are the things that I'm feeling? What's really going on? Sadness, anger, loneliness, confusion, love. Step five, don't grieve alone. Share it with others. Up to step 11, pray. Not for answers, sometimes just for comfort. And step 12, use this experience to help someone else who's hurting. I certainly wouldn't call losing Eva a gift, but the disturbance that followed, the grief, the loneliness, the anger, the questions, those became the gifts when they taught me how to receive help, how to grieve honestly, and how to help others who are hurting. Not every disturbance requires correction, some require healing. Recovery asks us to learn from both. So, what's my action plan? When grief shows up, don't run from it. And I'm not talking about any kind of loss, loss of or just this type of loss of a relationship, a job, a friendship, a lifestyle. Talk about it. Write about it. Pray about it. Let people help you that have been through it. One thing I've noticed over the years is that some disturbances don't hook me the way they used to. Traffic bothers me less. People's opinions bother me less. Minor inconveniences bother me less. And that's growth. Recovery isn't measured by whether I get disturbed. Recovery is measured by how quickly I wake up after the disturbance. Years ago, I might have carried a resentment or the anger for days. Today, maybe it's an hour. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Maybe it's a few seconds. Maybe it's not at all. That's progress. So here's a challenge I'd like to leave everyone with. This week, don't run from your disturbances. Don't justify them. Don't blame somebody else for them. Study them. When something bothers you, ask, what am I feeling? What am I afraid of? What expectation was violated? What character defect might be showing up? What's my responsibility? What action can I take? Because every disturbance is either a trigger or a teacher. Recovery helps us turn more of them into teachers. Most disturbances only give us three choices. We can blame, we can avoid, or we can grow. Recovery teaches me to choose the third one more often. The goal isn't to become someone who is never disturbed. The goal is to become someone who gets disturbed because that life's going to happen and recovers faster. The disturbance is not the enemy. The disturbance is the invitation, the gift of disturbances. Thanks for letting me share.
Such a beautiful share, Frank. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Very emotional, at least towards the end there for me. I appreciate you and everything you do, and thank you for your service. And we are going to go into the second portion of our meeting now, where we have questions and comments for Frank. And if you'd like to raise your hand, and if you'd like to make a comment or have any questions, please do so.
And if you have anything that's bothering you, bring it up. We can work through it.
There you go. That's better. So, Jill, you're first up. Thank you for putting up your hand, and we'll go with Luca afterwards. But thank you, Jill, for being here. And you have a comment or question for Frank. Welcome.
I do. Hi, let me close the door really quickly. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, you're
Okay,
sounding very well.
perfect. I just wanted to first thank Frank. I've been on this meeting on and off for a few years, so I recognize the face and the voice and the messages of great wisdom. And the one thing I took away was, I'm going through a 28-year marriage divorce, and it's not something I'm getting over. It's been 2 years since he left, and it feels like it was yesterday. And it's why I had to move. I fell into a drug addiction too when he left, and so I had to move to Arizona. And I can't quite. I quit everything. I'm 11 and a half months sober, free and clear of drugs and substances, but I can't quit the gambling because I use it as a way not to feel these terrible, awful feelings. And Frank, you made a good point that like it's, I don't need to just sit here and talk about gambling. I can talk about the reasons why I gamble and ask people around me, for support. Does anybody understand or relate? So thank you, Frank.
Well, we all understand. We've all been there. And what I learned is that 12-step programs are like pain management clinics. You get to learn to deal with the pain. I ran away from pain my entire life. And what I learned was if I sit with it, sometimes a little longer than I need to get a little bit out of my comfort zone, I realize the more practice I have, just like everything else in life, I can deal with it better. It won't last as long. It won't be as deep, and it won't come back as often. And what you're doing it by virtue of being here and sharing what's going on, This gives you the greatest opportunity to release that pain and to get the help. And there's so many people in this room that have been through what you are going through in different ways, and they can help you since you're open enough to being vulnerable and telling what's really going on. They can help you get through this. And how blessed we are to have meetings almost 24/7 and to be able to just hop in as many as we can and get that help. So thanks for being here, Jill. I know you've been coming here regularly, and if you didn't gamble today, you and me are both on the same page. So that's going to be a good day for both of us. All right, Dan, I'll just step in too. I can see the
Just so you know,
names
Frank, I opened
here.
up a chat for everybody to
Oh,
chat
okay.
together. If you do get any unwanted chats, please let me know right away, and we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, so let's move on to Luca. Thank you, Luca.
Well, thank you on a wonderful share. That's more into emotions, the vulnerable ones, and to me, it's quite a challenge to navigate between looking at the why I'm bothered, so to say, my wounds, my trauma, my hurt, my pain, what's my part in it, and also on the other hand, not to go into maybe a codependent state of trying to please others. Also, maybe in the situations or also to people that could be dangerous for my peace of mind or my serenity or my recovery. And it's a challenge to navigate between these two sometimes. Yeah, you opened up many more questions for me, which is great. And I'd like to thank you for that.
Well, it's been my great pleasure, and it's so great to have you here showing up regularly, at these meetings, Luca. I know as you've advanced in your medical career, I know you won't be able to be here as much as you have in the past, but you're I the most important thing is this awareness of what's really going on. Most of my life, I had no idea what was really going on with me. The next part of it comes working through that and getting the support and the help. So identifying the issues is the first thing, and that's what I kind of look at. And you're doing that, and you have the willingness, and that's the key. I mean, my success in this program was all program and a tiny bit of willingness on my part. I believe fully that the difference between a great program and a not so great program is 1 hour a day. Can you do, and that's okay, not counting meetings. Do you really spend 1 hour a day to make sure the other 23 work out well? A lot of times I don't, I'll admit that. But when I do, I can't tell you how beautiful my life becomes. All right, I believe that Robert is next, followed by Miss Moya. So great to see you, Robert. Robert always stalks me, man. He lives a few miles away, although we're 2,500 miles away now, but I'll be back on Friday. And so good to see you, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Frank. It's so great to see you. It's so great to see everybody. I'm Robert G. I'm a compulsive gambler, no bets and no lies on bets, 17 years and 3 weeks today. Incredibly grateful for the men and the women in this program. That t-shirt I got you for your birthday, perfectly Frank. That share was perfectly Frank, period. The biggest gift I got from this program was the gift of listening, because I never listened to anybody or anything. There was no reason to listen because I knew everything. And Frank, you've added so much to my life, and I've watched you embellish your life as well. And it's incredible what you said. And the God analogy and what you just created was spectacular. I had a lot of anger. People question God. If there's a God, why was there a Holocaust? How come there was an earthquake last night in the Philippines? And it's not that things happened. It's what should I do now? I gotta get out of this parking lot. That's what I should do now. I'm being chased. Anyway, beyond thank you, Frank. Just beyond thank you, and I'll see you soon. I'll be back.
Thank you, Robert. So glad you're here. All right, we're going to go on to Ms. Moya and then followed by Jeremiah. You need to be unmuted. Is that the hold it? There we go.
Yes, sir. It was saying I couldn't unmute, but good evening, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Moya C. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive gambler. Today is day 351. But I'm excited for today, and I'm so excited to have been connected to this group and these wonderful, great people, especially Frank. First, I want to say congratulations to Jeremiah for 6 years of recovery. And for each and every person, as I heard someone just mention, for today, because you haven't gambled today, you're here at this meeting. But Frank, wow, words just really escaped me when I tried to say how grateful I am to have met your acquaintance and how grateful I am to be a part of the accountability mentorship. That's what I'm going to call it. Accountability as well as mentorship, because you're helping me, not have helped as in the past, but you're constantly helping me in so many ways, even when I'm not talking to you. Just reading the gratitude list from others and from yourself is helping me a lot. And one of the things you said just now that really struck a chord with me, two things particularly, was when you said, the gifts of disturbance are either trauma, no, triggers or teachers. And that's something for me to really, really mull over and really get that down in my belt. Then also you said that you ran from pain your entire life. And I see that that's kind of one of the things that I do as well. So through staying connected, through working the steps, which I did get in touch with that person today. And yes, through working the steps, staying committed, connected, and honest, what I said that backwards, honest, open-minded, and willing, I know that I will continue my recovery until the day that I die, which I hope is not tomorrow or today. But nevertheless, thank you so much for all that you, I love you. I love all of you. And that's it.
Well, thank you, Moya. So glad to have you here and part of our recovery family and the connections that take place, how we all help each other so much. And thank you. Thank you for all the kind words. All right, let's get on to Jeremiah, the birthday celebrant.
Thank you for that beautiful share, Frank. Yeah, I'm Jeremiah, grateful compulsive gambler. And the gifts of disturbances. I've heard you share on this wisdom before, and it has helped me in my life with a friend that I had, because he would cause some disturbances in me, and I would do the blame game or the avoidance game. But then, when I started to use your approach, I realized that it actually revealed a lot of information about myself, and it actually helped us to get closer to each other. Because I had to look at myself. And as Carl Jung said, he contributed a lot to the 12-step fellowship. If you don't make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it faith. And I think this is basically what your wisdom speaks to. And what I wanted to ask you is, have you like reached a level where this is an intuition? So if you are in a situation and if you feel that inner disturbance, do you automatically treat it as a teacher and not as a trigger? Or is it something that you do later while meditating, or does it depend on the day, situation, your mood? If you could just elaborate a bit on that.
Well, that's a very good question. I wouldn't expect any less from you, always putting me to task, Jeremiah. For the most part, most of them are simply teachers for me, and I very seldom get triggered about much. I'm trying to reflect upon the last time something like that happens, but it does happen. And there is this, one of the promises of our program is, we'll intuitively know how to deal with situations that used to baffle us. There's so often we know we're going to go into these situations that could cause us a certain level of stress, whether it be family get-togethers or restaurants or who knows, anywhere you might go. And I always hark on the words of my previous sponsor, passed away a few years ago, and his short version of the third step prayer was, "God, I'm going in, cover me," And so it's great when we can be proactive in these situations. And there are many times that we know that they could be quite volatile, and to be prepared for that. But a lot of times we're just caught off guard, and something silly just occurs. And my initial default reaction is still a lot of times what it would have been even prior to recovery and prior to having all this awareness. But my reaction is different than what I end up doing. And that pause becomes so important, where I can just stop myself and say, okay, hold on, what's really going on here? Because again, I think at the end of my share, I referred to the idea, the goal is not to get disturbed. Life's going to throw curveball. I don't care how good a citizen you are. I don't care how much recovery it is. I don't know how much faith you have. You're going to be hit with stuff, and there's no reason or rhyme for it, and it's going to affect you. But the more practice you have, it's just trying to pause and sit back and kind of watch it reveal itself, and then go into your lessons that you need to learn. And I remember something years ago when I was married with my first wife, and she had this thing. I mean, it's a whole nother story about she didn't like confrontation and avoidance, but anytime we had a d heavy discussion, it was, I wanted to resolve it now. Let's just do it. Let's get it over with and move on and get to the root of it all. And she was like, no, we're going to talk about it next week or later on. And what I learned from that was sometimes 3 or 4 days later, when it was time to talk about it, I couldn't even remember what the issue was. But in the moment, I was so upset. And I was like, this has to be solved, or everything's done and over with, And it turned out to be nothing. And I attached a lot of energy to stuff. So yeah, waiting, pausing. But to answer your question directly, yes, a lot of times, over time, with practice, I don't get triggered by very little. I get triggered by very little. But the few times it does come up, my tools can kick in. But the beauty of the 10 step is I'll fall short sometimes. And maybe I will thought I had resolved it appropriately. But if I didn't, at the end of every night, I reflect back on what happened that day. Did I clean up everything I needed to? And if I didn't, I make a commitment to clean it up the next possible time. So yeah, it's not about striving for perfection and never not having any triggers. It's about just having them less, or when you deal with them, having them diffused more quickly. Thanks, Jeremiah. Okay. Many of you don't know how handsome Walt is because he's on the phone all the time. But Walt, it is so great that you are here today and been such an important part of my recovery. And now that you're unmuted, go right ahead, my friend.
Yeah, Walt D, compulsive gambler. Great talk, Frank. And I really identified when you talked about the emotions after losing your wife. But I was also thinking if Marshall was here, he'd be really proud of you. I was visualizing 45 years ago when I walked off that softball field with you, and we were over by your car, and I'm telling you how great this program could do for you, and you were telling me, "I've got an appointment. I've got to leave you." You just didn't want to hear it. Can you visualize then what a great asset that you and Sandy have been to this program in that amount of time. And I love you.
Well, thank you, Walt. And Walt's always good at disturbing me and reminding me of how I should have got this earlier, like he did. I came into meetings before he did. I was 19. If I stayed the whole time, I would have had 52 years. But I don't, now maybe a few years back that might have bothered me, but it doesn't bother me today because I truly believe that every one of us has to go through what we had to get to the place where we're at today. And I would never in a million years trade exactly where I am today in my life. The joy, the meaning, the purpose, the relationships that I have, any one of things that could have changed. Who knows if I had stayed with the program early on, what my life would be like. Recently, I've had this, there's another talk I wanted to do. It seems a little bit silly, but I might do it one day with the topic of, with all the screw-ups, it'll be much shorter than this, that I've done in my life, and I've gotten to this point today, how much better would my life be if I even screwed up more? And, maybe I'll hold off on that topic. But yeah, I would have never thought that I'd have this life today. I wasn't ready, Walt. You knew it. I knew it. I had to experiment. I had to go through more pain. And there's no secret sauce. There's no special words that anybody could say. I had the most loving, caring Walt early on and taking me under his wings and helping and supporting. And all the sponsors, the most incredible, amazing people in the world were there for me and they liked me and they would do anything for me. I wasn't ready. And I'm ready now and I'm here today and I'm grateful for that. Walt, thanks for being here. I love you and hope to see you soon. Okay, let's continue on. We have Big Al from Dundee. Gosh, so good to see you here. Do we need to? Oh my goodness. And his better three quarters is here too.
My
See
most
you.
favorite disturbance wanted to say hello. So,
Oh, well, let her say hello. I didn't hear her. You were on mute.
Hello, my darling.
Hey, sweetie, so good to see you. We're just 4.5 months away from our next get together.
Yes.
Very true. Yeah. You know what? I've been, my name's Alan, by the way, compulsive gambler. I have no gambling to report today, I'm glad to say. Excuse me, not since the 18th of March 1991. Grateful recovering compulsive gambler. Great to see so many friends. Listening to Walt there brought back memories of Monday nights on this meeting. And it's funny because I've got 30 years plus in recovery in this fellowship, and there's not many things that surprise me. But when I looked at the topic, and it's funny, your share was great as usual, Frank, but I looked at gifts of disturbance and I thought, okay, he's finally lost it. You know, he's actually completely gone off on a tangent, you know. I had no idea of how focused it could be when you addressed each of these issues, and I was deeply impressed because I've been one of those, and you know me pretty well now, who over the years has always had the difficulty of, well, it's being rude to be late at a meeting. Well, it's disrespectful to swear in every other sentence. You know, there are ladies present and so on. What difference that should make, I do not know nowadays, but with the equality that goes on. But I was one of those people, you know, a perfectionist that if it wasn't Alan's way, then it was wrong. And I used to take that resentment that you spoke about. But I've learned over the years that a good friend, no longer with us, who reminded me or explained to me that resentment can't be given, it can only be taken. And that was vitally important. And you've I suppose strengthen the feelings, in that regard with shares previously and your share tonight. And I really do appreciate it. You never cease to amaze me in these. I mean, we've spoken for many, many, periods of different things, and it just shows you here we are. Well, I think we met what about 6 years ago or so now, and it's something else that sprung up that you had in your tool pouch that you hide away for special occasions like this one tonight. So I don't really have a question for you other than how do you manage it? How do you manage to keep surprising me when I think I'm Mr. Wonderful? And I still do, but in a different way now, not in an egotistical way. I feel it in the sense that I like to share what I've got. And in order to keep my sanity and keep my recovery, I have to give it away. And you always amaze me in the way that you do give it away, like tonight's share. So thank you for that. Thank you for being a friend. And yes, I'm looking forward to seeing you soon in Bonnie, Scotland here. Not necessarily Warham, Scotland, but certainly Bonnie. Thank you, my friend.
Scotland is very warm, regardless of the temperature. It's all about the people and the culture. And there was a question in there a little bit about how do I, kind of keep things, adding things or sharing things that after all this time, whatever that means. I don't. Life just gives me these gifts. I mean, there are some challenges that I go through from time to time. I've been in the dating world, and the interesting thing is that I was like hit really hard because my spiritual ego was hit. It was like, okay, I think I'm like, oh, because you guys tell me every day I'm the greatest, right? So I think I'm like, oh, on spiritual level, like I'm 8 or 9 or 10 or something. And then all I have to do is connect with someone that I might like or may without really knowing a lot about them, but I project and all that. And then all and they don't respond like in 3.2 seconds or a day later or whatever. And all my insecurities come up and all these things I get to look at. Gosh, I thought I worked through all that. I thought I'm, at a level 8, and I find out I'm really at 5. And so, and then I look at why am I disturbed by all this? Why does it really even matter? Why do I need work on, there's always more work to be done, and it and life reveals itself and gives me these opportunities. And I think it's only fair that as I stumble and make these mistakes, I can share some of these with you and tell you how they've helped me get through my life. So thank you, Alan. So great to see you, and thanks to you for that question and your kind words.
Thank you.
Jürgen, so glad to have you here. I guess he needs to be unmuted or he's trying.
Hello.
There we go.
Impression. I can't turn off. Oh, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Jürgen. I'm a compulsive gambler, and it was a very nice talk, Frank. And congratulations to Jeremiah on 6 years. And I know the a lot of the story with Eve, and I and it felt really heartbroken, Frank. And I lost a colleague for 3 4 years ago, and I felt a lot of resentment. I felt it was my fault sometimes. That I what's the name? I feel guilty when I didn't need it to feel guilty because of the loss of my very good colleague. My question is, how do you going through the steps in a process of people dying. I think it's very hard, and yeah,
Well,
that's my question. I don't know.
that's a very good question, and I think these 12 steps are the perfect way to go through them. And they talk about the five stages of grief. I'm not good at remembering a lot of the details, but it starts out with denial, and then anger, and then bargaining, and depression, and then finally acceptance. And that's kind of almost how our program is. I did a share for another program tying the five stages of grief to the 12 steps of recovery, and it was very helpful and useful. And the things that I've learned is that number one, loss and grief can coexist with joy. I mean, I could be crying one second, and at the same time, I can feel a lot of joy. I'm here in Hawaii. Even I used to come to Hawaii three, four, five different times. Places we went to, beaches that we sat on, things that we did. There's all these great memories. And sometimes I'll just start crying. But a lot of times, as time goes on, they're attached to, and sadness is a very healthy emotion. It's a natural emotion, but they're attached to feelings of joy. And that's the part I want to shift to. I can stay stuck in that sadness and all that, or start questioning all that. And I've worked through that. The steps really have helped me work through that. And some people in their kind ways will say for some to someone that's lost someone, well, you'll get through it, you'll get over it. I don't want to get over it. If my life is just like this the rest of my life, where I can remember her and still cry and think of something and still go on with my life and be in relationships and still have friendships and still find joy and happiness, I'm a happy man. It never has to go through. It's a, they say grief is a place where it's love that has no place to go. So what I've learned in this process is there's a lot of love within me still, and I can't, that sort of love that I gave to Eva and she gave to me, I don't have someone to receive it directly on at least the romantic level. But there's plenty of it in me that can go around with friends and program people and the average person on the street that I walk to. I mean, my goal in this life is very simple. For every person that I come in contact with, their life is a little bit better for having met me that moment. And most of the days I do a pretty good job of it. Some days I fall short, and that's okay, and I try better the next day. Thanks, Jürgen. But we can talk more directly and specifically about working through grief, if you'd like. Okay, I believe Jen is next. Let me just pull up the participant list. Yeah, Jen followed by Be More Dave. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen S. Compulsive gambler, not gambling. This is weird. I didn't raise my hand, but I wanted to share and was struggling to share. All of a sudden, you said I'm next. I looked down and I'm like, my hand's up. So I will just say I'll crack. Want to congratulate Jeremiah and Alberto, or Jeremiah on his 6 years and Alberto on his 90 days. Great job. And then I just want to say thanks to Frank. Gifts of Disturbance. What a great share. That was a gift. Your share was a gift. I think you're a gift to this program and to everybody you probably come in contact with. I get so much wisdom and smiles from you, and you're just a great person. And I enjoyed this share so much. I didn't know what it was quite going to be about, but I'm just so glad I could make it and heard it, and I can't wait to read it or listen to it again. That's all I got. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jen. And yeah, it's been great getting closer to you these recent months, and just watching your willingness, your surrender, your vulnerability, and those are the things that keep us in this program and allow us to have those lives that we deserve. And it's so great to have you on our gratitude list as well. And it helps us all, and I know it helps you too. So thank you. Thank you for the kind words. All right, David S., my son's name and initial. David's more like a brother. Hi.
Greetings. Be More David S., compulsive gambler, multi-addict human being. Thank you so much for your share. The gifts of disturbance sounds awful, like the line in the long version of the Serenity Prayer, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. And thanks for putting a new spin on it. And you have a wonderful and blessed remainder of your time in Hawaii. Don't forget to send pics.
Well, there's one on the screen. You can look at Dan's second computer background, and that was from just a few days ago. But thanks, Dave. Thanks for being here. And Rich, oh my goodness, I can't wait. Rich and I were going to see each other before you know it in 4 months. At the Chicago Convention, another plug for the Chicago Convention.
Yeah, Frankie, so good to see you here today and to hear you. You know, I met you in Chicago, 3.5 years ago? Actually, maybe 3 years ago, whatever it was. But I haven't placed the bet since February or January 3rd of 2023. And prior to that, you know, I had time in the program. I did. I had 4 years in and out, in and out. And you know something, in those 4 years, I never had a go-to guy. I never had a sponsor. And you're my mentor. You know, you're the guy I've gone to over the last 3.5 years a number of times. A number of times, and every single time you were there to help me, every time, and whatever it was, go to Chicago for a trip, you lined up a guy, Marius, and had some issues with my family, my business, my kids, and not too long ago, all of a sudden, I got off on a nutcase where I was watching racing, and I called you up. I never did that before. All those 4 years that I was in and out, I never called anybody. I never called anybody to help me. And I called you. And I consider you my definitely my go-to guy, my mentor. And I can only say that I look forward to seeing you again face to face. And maybe we'll see Robert G. I don't know if he'll be there. But anyway, I know Danny will be there, and his mom maybe. But anyway, Frank, I love you, man. I just can't tell you how grateful I am to have you for a friend. And you're such a credit to this whole fellowship and to this program and this platform here. You are so intricate. Anyway, hey, man, I love you. I don't have a lot to say. I am so thankful to know you and to have met you and to love you. And I mean that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rich. As you know, you're one of my biggest inspirations. Rich is a little bit older than me, but looks about 10 years younger. And for him to come in at his age and make the time he has and make the changes in his life is one of my biggest inspirations. When people say, I'm 27 years old, my life is over. Here we have a guy that has just shown me what's possible. And it's never too late to have a good rest of your life. And Rich, this is tough because I'm hearing a lot of nice things about me. And my self-esteem has improved where I feel worthy of them. I don't get me wrong. In the past, maybe years ago, I might have been self-deprecating and denying any of that, or claiming it's all smoke and mirrors and all that, or that you guys were all paid to say this. And but today I those words I take in, and I and they're meaningful. But at the same time, I go through this challenge that I know there's a lot more that I could be doing. But it's healthy for me to do that. That's not beating myself up. I mean, I shared about it in my share how, yes, I could be doing more step work. I could be reaching out to more people. There's opportunities, and so it's always, then everything is a dichotomy, you know, that I'm not doing enough and then I'm doing too much all at the same time. So this has all been healthy, and it's been wonderful. And again, this turned out to be a lot of step work for me, because I've been thinking about this and writing about this and for weeks, and in the last few days really focusing on this. And I've been a little lazy about my own step work, and so this has helped me just get a lot of clarity of thought. And one of my goals in life is really silly when you hear me say it. I want to be proved that I'm wrong. Because if I'm proved that I'm right, I don't grow, I don't change. So if there's something that I'm wrong about, I want to know, and I'll have the opportunity to work on that. Now, a lot of times, fortunately or unfortunately, it's hard to prove me wrong. And so, but it confirms and validates, you know, my thinking and my beliefs. But if there's some evidence of things that are in my life that I'm wrong about, I want to know it, because that's the only way I'm going to kind of be the best possible version of myself and get to share it with you, hopefully, and help you guys become that too. Well, Dan, looks like you raised your hand, and so we're going to have to call on you. So go right ahead, my
And we're
right
just
hand man.
almost out of time. I timed it, so I probably wouldn't have too much time to speak. But thank you for letting me come in, Frank. I've been trying lately to talk less and try to get more information in less words, but it's probably not going to be possible. But before I start, I wanted Alberto. I think he's probably gone already, but congratulations to him on 63 days. And Jeremiah is still here, and congratulations to you, Jeremiah, 6 years. Amazing, 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 amazing. I'm just so proud and so happy to know that you're succeeding. And like Frank always says, you're a perfect example of what this program can do to us for someone that really wants it, you know. And I'm so grateful to know you all, and to get this opportunity to be part of this meeting for few years now, and then take on even a bigger position here, and it's all about giving back. But I'm, you know, and it's been, Frank always says it's a little selfish, because I'm getting a lot more out of it than I'm actually giving back. My life has changed. I came in here the first time I met Frank, gotta be f almost 5 years now, you know. And I wasn't in a very good place. I wasn't even able to read one of the readings before I broke down, and I couldn't do it. And to come out of it 5 years later to where I'm at today, and to have somebody there for me that really cares and wants my best. We've been to just last year. I called. I said, "Look, I'm going through problems." Okay, pack your bag. We're going to Ireland. That was 2 days before he left, and I was in Ireland before I knew it, and I didn't realize it. That not only was there for myself, I was there for we were there for each other. We had just lost Eva, and we were going through myself as well, through some very difficult, painful times. And we were able to go to some places that they went together. We took pictures in the same place. And one of the most beautiful things was this: we went into a pub. I guess there's all pubs out there. There's pubs, and in the back there's eating as well. So he showed me this table in the back, that this is where Eva and I sat last time we were here. And the place was packed. There was no way to get in and out of that place. Everybody was busy. As we walked through, just as we got to that table, four people stood up and walked away at that second. And we got that same table, which is just amazing. These little small little things out of nowhere. Then I was in really fast here. I was in Dublin, spending the last night there, and I met this amazing person that had all the spirituality. And I would have never met him. I never would have had any of this if it wasn't for Frank. We have an opportunity for the future. We move on. We've been through quite a few things together. He's been there next to me all the time. We're almost hopefully coming to an end on some big, huge thing that we've been working on. But we will, we won't. It won't matter, because I realize that whatever happens is meant to happen. If it doesn't work, it's there's something better out there. And Frank showed me that. So don't worry about it. Something else is coming, and we haven't lost anything. So we're just waiting. It's a little bit of patience I'm learning as well, and learning to love and to care for everybody. Looking forward to Chicago coming up, and then we're gonna go see Big Al in Scotland and Claire and everybody else that's out there pretty soon this year. So life has changed from being in a place of fear and being a place of hiding and being not even able to talk. Come to being where I'm at today, and it's all because of Frank, and it's all because of this higher power that gave me Frank to begin with. So there I go. I said I wasn't going to talk too much, and I did. I love you, Frank. You mean everything to me, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Dan. You know how I feel about you. And also, you know, keep in mind, if you're saying nice things about me, you can talk as long as you want. There's no time limit on that. Henry, go right ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. Henry B., compulsive gambler. I've been placed a bet for many years. So far, I have not gambled today. Aloha, Frank. Good to see you. First, I want to thank you, my dear friend Don A., for texting me that Frank is a speaker, and I jumped in. I was driving, but I love to hear you. I just would like to see you. I mostly see you on the bike, of course, and promoting Southern California about the weather. And what a beautiful weather every time I see you, at least here from your bike. Now it's good to see you. And the first time I came here, Frank, at your meeting in the LA Daily was on your 10th anniversary. And Miss Eva Peron was there. My, you know, she was like a Juan Peron, a woman behind a successful man. Wonderful lady, and I think your son David, I remember because that's my son's name, and your daughter Sarah, that is my favorite niece's name. I am still have a little bit of a brain left when it comes to certain things. Anyway, you know, it's good to see you. You look the same. You still have the same amount of hair when I first saw you. And I don't know if I've seen you before. If I have, it's probably some of the post offices in Southern California. I may have seen you, your picture posted, wanted, or it's lovely to see you. It's always good to see you. What a wonderful, wonderful share. And I look forward to seeing you here more often. Love you, my brother. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Henry. Thanks for showing up and always your kind words. And normally what Henry would have said would have bothered me, but the statute of limitations is up on most of those crimes, so I'm not worried anymore. Oh, gosh. And what a memory. Boy, that 10-year anniversary was something. There were almost 200 people there at that meeting. And for you to remember my kids' names, I have to look it up sometimes, David and Sarah. Oh, boy. All right, Ed K, go right ahead. Glad you're here today.
Thanks, Frank. Hi. My name's Ed Kay. I'm a compulsive gambler, and I'm sitting here with my little recovery miracles. I've got my 6-month-old baby girl on my lap, and my 2-year-old toddler's in the corner. My wife's painting
Well, let's see the
in the
baby,
window.
okay? Can I see the baby at least?
Yeah, you can see the baby.
Oh my goodness. What a
Yeah.
product of recovery. How beautiful that is.
What a way I've come since when we first met, right? When it was the first time I met you was at the Hope Center, I believe, in my first week, in GA, and I was in so much pain, and I shared on wanting hope and how I felt like everything was so negative that I was hearing, all the stories I was hearing were so negative, and I wanted some hope, and I have that now. So I just wanted to thank you for that uncomfortable moment where you called me out for combining my share with my topic request, and how much better my etiquette is now at meetings because of that. So thank you, Frank.
Thanks, and congratulations on your kids. Boy, that brings me so much joy. Claire, I guess you have something to say.
Sorry if there ends up being any background noise. Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks, Frank. Just to start off by having this meeting, I feel that this meeting's kind of become my home meeting on Zoom. But saying that, I wouldn't have known about this meeting if it hadn't been for Bagal. Because I think the first time I came on was the 1 year anniversary. And I just want to thank you for all your support that you've given me, especially in GA, and more recently another fellowship, which I know I need to get back on track with that, and I will be in touch. But just generally wanted to say thanks for all your support, and I can't wait to see you in October. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire, and thank you for all the service you do that helps make my life a lot easier. Well, Benjamin, I guess this is going to be, it's way past Big Al's bedtime. So, Benjamin, I guess you're going to be our last share. Even when Big Al's on mute, we can hear him snore. Go ahead.
Hey, Frank. Thanks. Thanks for that. That was really good. My name's Ben W. I'm a compulsive gambler. And I, first of all, just want to thank you. The man on the bike, every time I hear you, my ears perk up. I've always appreciated your shares. And I guess the question that I had, because I know, we're pretty late here, but the whole resting on my laurels thing, I've done that a couple times in this program, and I've got a lot of good advice on how not to do that, but I just want to hear your take on that. I had a relapse after
I don't know if you're paused or you just cut out for we can't hear you, Ben, right now. Is it just me or
No, we have a hard time hearing him. Benjamin, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. We're pretty late in the meeting.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. You were talking about resting on your laurels. So you're talking about like dealing with complacency.
Right. So yeah, I had I was 4 months clean and had a relapse, and a lot of it was resting on my laurels, where I guess I got complacent. And like I said, I got a lot of good advice on how not to do that this time around. Like, I got a sponsor, et cetera, and I'm back over 30 days, and I'm just nervous about that. And I just wanted to hear your take on how to stay in the pocket, if you would.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do. One of the things that I do, I start 4 different gratitude lists every night. And I'm not telling you to do that, but if you got on one, you're accountable to a lot of different people. And if I don't show up or I don't put out my gratitude list, and it's a little hard here in Hawaii because we're 3 hours earlier. Sometimes I have to program them the night before because I have to send it out at 1 a.m. in the morning, my time, so it gets there the appropriate times in the U.S. or in the U.K. But just get in the center of the pack, get connected, get numbers, have a God squad, have people, the more accountable you are. This is a disease of isolation. And you keep your program to yourself, then, you've heard Einstein's great quote about the consciousness that created the problem can't be the same consciousness that solved the problem. So I'm a big fan of taking direction, not doing it your way. I'm suggesting what worked for me. I've seen it works for others. Those that stay connected and that reach out and to get to different meetings and find mentors and find peers and find sponsors and do all that and take on service positions. And get to, even if it was you wanted to send me a text every day committing to you not gambling for just today, doing that all the time. There's a million different things that we can do to get more connected in the program, stay in the middle of the pack. And as time goes on, giving back, because that's the greatest feeling you ever have. And just because you may have 30 days, it doesn't mean you can't get back to a newcomer that just came in that has 5 days. That can't even imagine ever reaching 30 days. You'll have more that he'll listen to than I would in a million years. So there's so many different ways, and you're a smart guy. We're all smart. This is one of my favorite expressions I heard years ago. GA works for smart people too. It just takes them a lot longer. Because they're always trying to figure everything out. The steps as they're written, there's got to be shortcuts. There's other ways to do it. Now, be a copycat. Just do what someone else has done, and you'll have the lives that they have. And it's not rocket science. All right. Thanks.